Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Deeper. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Do want to apologize. We did not have our recording last week. We had the sermon, and we were like, you know what? This is a great interactive space. We figured that kind of did what we normally would do here on Deeper. So we decided to give you all a week off. But we are back, and we are starting up in Advent. And Dan, Advent is my favorite time of year, not just like the Christmas period of it, you know, because I do love the lights and the decorations and the winter aesthetics when it's not just the gray slush. But like the season of Advent is probably my favorite time in the church calendar, as it were. As you know, someone who's gone through a lot of different periods of Advent, of waiting, it's my favorite. But just it's so central to what we're doing as believers now in this new season of Advent. So I was wondering, just before we kick off too hard, while we enter Advent, what would you encourage us to be thinking about or doing on top of what we're doing on Sundays, you know, going through this series and then the traditional Advent wreath and whatnot?
Well, if I could turn it back around, I'm curious, Austin, you know, your favorite season, you mentioned you've had to do some waiting, and that's not always the most fun thing to be in the time of waiting, and yet you're saying that I love this season because it focuses on that. What has brought you to that space where you say, this season really matters to me? It must be something, obviously.
Yeah, so, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about this later, but really one of the most life-altering experiences I ever had was our immigration situation, which, you know, for those of you listening who probably know, my wife and I got married, and then less than 10 months later, she gets kicked out of the country due to some combination of bureaucratic nonsenses, and we had to spend 3 years and 3 days married, living apart in different countries. And we were stuck in a position where we could do nothing but wait and pray. There was one part where we were waiting for 9 months for them to simply mail a document from one department in Detroit to another in Philadelphia. Like, I could have walked it myself you know, in that span. And so it was really this season where we were completely helpless. And the only thing we could do is rely on God to fix it, because nothing else, there was nothing we could do. And obviously that period is done now, but we're still learning from that. We're still growing from that. And so for me, when we enter this season of Advent, it reminds me of just how much we as humans are really so helpless. The world is an awful place to be. It's so discouraging sometimes. We feel like we can't control anything, and yet we have this hope that Jesus will come and will make things right. I had obviously a very direct experience with that, but I think just on a whole, I think that's the core of what we're doing right now, is we are waiting for Jesus to come and fix his creation.
Well, thanks for going down there. I know maybe that wasn't your plan, but I thought it might be helpful in illuminating your question as well, just because what you shared there, as we think about what can we be doing in this season besides being here on Sunday and worshiping and listening to God's word together, which is all good. That engagement of trust on both ends, right? Trusting that God's doing something in the midst of our waiting now and exploring what that is. That's a good practice for anybody in this season. You're probably waiting in some way, shape, or form for something, right? You could be the big picture, of course, but lots of little things in life, too, that we're like, this, my health, I'm waiting for it to get better. I'm waiting for this to heal. I'm waiting for this relationship to come to fruition, whatever. And to say, I trust God's doing something, and he's going to do something fruitful, even, like Austin just shared. What is it? You know, and to explore that with him, that's a good thing. The other thing you mentioned there, which I think is powerful, is obviously in the case you shared, you and Danica have been able to reunite, be back together now. And that also fosters greater trust. It's this trust that God's going to keep his promises. To see in instances, and it doesn't happen every time in this world, where our waiting is met with that expectation at the end. But to have those times and to see when it's happened can very much encourage me as I'm waiting now for God's big action of returning again, or maybe even just the small waitings we're doing in our lives. So reflecting back, too, on God's faithfulness and the work he's done in the midst of those times, both things you just shared right there, I think are good things for us in this Advent season. I know some love, they have particular devotionals or scripture reading things kind of focused. That can be very good. But like you said, this is meant to be a season of waiting and expectation. You know, we wait expectantly because God said things and he's promised things, and we believe he's good to his word. So to try and, what has God said? That's part of where these readings and devotionals come in. They're usually reminding us, God promised this, God said that. This is what he said. You know, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on eagle's wings, right? These are good promises. It might be a reading program like that or devotional, but those thoughts of exploring with God, what's he doing in our church right now? We're in a season of waiting. We've been thinking about another pastor coming in. It's taken longer than we thought. What's God teaching us? What's he doing? How is he molding our hearts after his, let alone individually in our lives? I appreciate you sharing that because it just gives a concrete example of why this season is important. God's people have often expressed Christian life as waiting upon the Lord. And so, thanks for going there with me.
And thank you for answering that. That's, again, very helpful to keep in mind. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, this is a great season. Why is this a great season? And so I appreciate your reminder to be thinking back on those, because that does make a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
And that's Christmas, right? We celebrate the first Advent. It's like, this is a big picture of how God's kept his word.
Also, like, important to remember on that first Advent, that was a 400-year Advent. They hadn't heard anything from God for 400 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, to put that in perspective for those of us, we're talking like going back to the 1600s.
Right, it's Plymouth Rock.
That's Plymouth Rock. That's before Plymouth Rock almost. Yeah. Like, it's crazy how long ago that was. So, again, just very important for us to remember that, you know, even our seasons of Advent now, you know, for Danica and I, we only had to wait 3 years and 3 days.
Praise be for that. Felt like 400, but
felt like, yeah, exactly. So Dan, we're in Advent. What did we talk about as we kicked off this season?
Yeah, so we're doing kind of a focus on some of Jesus' names and titles. Some of them self-given, some of them, you know, named elsewhere in Scripture. Just to kind of bring out, you know, why would we wait upon this one? Why do we celebrate his coming? What's that mean for us? And so we started with Jesus' self-proclamation in John 8 that he is the light of the world, and just talked about why that's a big deal, why instantly the teachers there were saying, hey, you can't just say that, and why John would say, like, hey, guess what? Nobody even arrested him because, well, this must be a huge deal. And so we talked about why it is a big deal, why it's been, you know, such a prominent feature and image throughout Scripture, and what it means then for us in our lives, why Jesus would take a hold of that and say, this is a great, great thing for you all. This is your hopes being met. I'm your Savior here. So, we just explored some of those things, and it hopefully just came by at the end, too, like, this is the incredible good news. The light overcomes the darkness, and with Jesus, we see that. Even to us, if it takes a long time, that's going on. So
And the imagery, the title of the light of the world is so helpful for us to understand, because like there's so many good examples of how light helps us see. It's a very important thing. I really did appreciate your example of, you know, using a flashlight while walking in the dark while you're camping. It'll, you know, just to help you make sure you stay on the path.
Yeah.
To pull that analogy a little further, though, I was just wondering, you know, sometimes when we're walking through life, sometimes it's very clear, you know, this is the way of God, so this is not.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, that is not nearly so clear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our path can fork and diverge, and both can be good paths. And so I was wondering, when we're faced with these situations where there isn't a clear, this is the good choice and this is the bad choice, how can we use Christ's light and wisdom to make our decisions in a holistic and helpful way? Mm,
yeah, it's a good question because, we named that too. We would like specifics every single time, right? You know, all the way down to the bottom of what should I eat today or those kind of things, let alone like who should I be dating, what should my career be, and what health decision do I make here? Those kind of things, right? Because there's often not just this, you know, voice from heaven saying, yes, you know, go to this university, right. That kind of thing, right?
And if you are hearing someone say, God told me I'm supposed to marry you, that's something you want to be a little cautious about, you know? Right. So,
well, we can use some of that in negative ways, too.
Right,
but
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's part of the wrestling, and I think part of the journey of faith and discipleship is God saying, hey, I've illuminated and am illuminating your path with the broad strokes of how you're called to live, with his word, with his spirit, as we talked about. And in the specific, some of that is trusting that overall peace. So use the example of dating. I went through some of this too. You know, as many of you know, I you know, Liz and I didn't meet till our late 20s. We didn't get married till we were 30. And so I was wondering about some of these things. Who should I be? And I did some dating. And I met, you know, some people that were great. And we actually were fairly compatible. But I think part of the illumination for me was saying, there needs to be a match here in regards to your faith. And if that's not there, you can step into some dangerous paths, right? And it's one thing, you know, if you're not a Christian, you're married, and then you become a Christian, Scripture speaks into those situations too. But for me as a believer, I think God was illuminating my path there to say, hey, here's part of the way you can think about this decision. This really matters. And there's words in Scripture about that. There's spiritual wisdom about this is going to be a big factor. If I'm going to marry somebody, guidance that way in my life. Same thing could be with, like, employment. There's lots of good jobs, and Christians are called to be in lots of jobs. But there might be some that, if we're being honest and really following God's light, we know might be detrimental to us, either from a balance of life perspective or sometimes from a moral perspective. I mean, there's jobs. I took business ethics courses when I was in college and studying those. And it's not always super easy, but sometimes it's clear. The path is lit up, like, I can't go that way because of this. It's not going to lead to good moral decisions. Even the business, maybe what they're producing isn't in line with the way God shines light in the world. So I think we do have those broad pictures, and some of the wrestling is, but I really want to do this, or the money's really good, or this person's really attractive, or fill in the blank, right? You know, there are seasons for this too, right? There's seasons where God is showing us and leading us on this path, and then things change. Health changes, or, you know, season of life changes, and that too. So I think constantly we want to be seeking with God and using those gifts he's given, his spirit, his word, the Christian community, as we always talk about here on Deeper, because there's so much godly wisdom in all of these places. And I know in my life, too, seeking, you know, wisdom from others, you know, parents, mentors, friends, other family members, that's helped put light to my path as well. Yeah, sometimes that's the way God will show us. And sometimes he's saying, hey, just trust me. Like you said, Austin, either of these paths is before you. Not one of them is going off into the darkness. So maybe just let go a little bit of that, you know, huge anxiety about I'm going to careen from the path. God usually he says in Scripture, you know, if you're following my word, if you're listening to my speech, you know if you're really going to step off into darkness. That usually is quite clear, but sometimes, no, you just got to trust me. Follow me here. Know who you are and how it made you to be, and walk with me in that. And I'll keep illuminating your path as we go along.
And maybe we need to be in a little season of Advent as we walk. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting to see whether or not, you know, how God is going to use these.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, sometimes God's just saying, just hold on for a bit and walk with me in it. I think for me and my dating life in my 20s, or not that much dating life at times, you know, it was that. And God was forming me. I see that looking back now. In the time, I was just kind of annoyed, maybe frustrated. But you know, looking back, I can see where he was shaping, you know, from God's eyes, probably, you're not really ready for this. Mm-hmm. You think you are, but you need to mature some more, Dan, and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I think you make a good point, Austin. There could be some good Advent in some of this discernment, too.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate that, Dan. Would love to move over to another element we talked about, where you had said that Jesus' statement that he is the light of the world means that we have new purpose and meaning for our lives. Mm. I don't know how many people listening here have had a midlife crisis before. I've kind of had a quarter-life crisis, you know, kind of talked about this earlier, where, you know, I graduated, I got a degree in psychology, I was ready to go into counseling, And then my wife gets kicked out of the country. COVID happens. The world shuts down. And I start working in a field that I had never studied. I'd worked in it before, but never studied.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those where I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I got no clue where I'm going from here. Mm. Everything that I had been planning my future on has been completely swept away.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took, you know, years of, you know, working and praying for me to see that Jesus was using me in these new situations in, that I'm in, and really gave me the heart knowledge. It had been head knowledge for a long time, but really the heart knowledge of, you know, your job is to bring honor to me in the situations I put you in, not in the situations you want to put yourself in. Which, I mean, I'd known that for my whole life, but it really took until I was 25 to sink in, and it's still sinking in and will continue to sink in. And other people I know are absolutely wrestling with this. There's people who, you know, are dealing with career changes in their 50s, 60s, major life upheavals. This is something that we are all really constantly working on learning. So I was wondering what advice, Dan, you would have if someone came to you and said, look, I know in my head I'm just supposed to be reflecting Jesus, but I have no idea how to actually do that, and I have no idea how to get my heart on the same page as my head.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah, thanks for sharing some of your own even personal wrestling with that, too. So much of it is the identity question. Who am I now, we might say? I've known who I was before. I did this work, or I was with this person, but who am I now? Because sometimes it seems quite clear what our purpose is in stages of life, because I have this role, I have this involvement at church, and then things change. And so I think that's a fair thing to note and to ask about as we go through different seasons and stages of life. That underlying, like you said, headpiece foundation is there. We're meant to be the light of the world. But what might that look like? And part of it is to, I'm probably not going to be able to say it like you said it just now, Austin, but just like kind of understanding it's not so much about where I think it should be, but understanding, well, this is what God's giving to me now. Maybe it looked this way in the past. I think this is a struggle for us as we age, because sometimes when we're younger, even in church life, we're so involved with things, and we're doing this, we're on that committee and this committee, and our kids are involved, and we're doing that. And also when we get to like retirement age, and we're not really sure, you know, I can't really do what I did here. It seems like the church maybe doesn't want me to do what I did here. And so who am I now? And we can get stuck in kind of almost maybe a depressed state or sometimes an angry state, frustrated and just kind of shut down in our life in the church, being light of the world, rather than, I think, what you expressed, Austin, thinking, okay, well, what does God have for me now in this season? What is my calling, my meaning? How is he setting up for me to be light of the world? If he says that's who I'm called to be, that must mean for every stage, not just when I was this age or with this income or whatever. So I think some of that is wondering that question. If you're stuck a little bit right now, is thinking, well, what is he calling me to? I mean, there's no shortage of opportunities. They're there, but sometimes we got to get unstuck and thinking about, well, it used to be this way and it's not now. And of course, we need to lament some of that. We have physical changes and things, seasons change. We lose loved ones and that changes things. And but then God wants us to be seeing what he has in store for us now. And so that's one piece of that is maybe trying to, you know, work with the Spirit. How can we get unstuck if we're finding ourselves in that midlife crisis or whatever it might be? Yeah, and then I think, you know, sometimes it just does trying some things, you know, exploring. Sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else, too. Like you said, in this role, you know, thinking like, well, this is what I signed up for. It's like me when I graduated with a business degree and all of a sudden I'm doing land surveying and thinking about ministry. I'm like, well, I didn't have this in mind.
Right.
But then sometimes someone says, hey, you know, I appreciate the work you're doing here. Or, hey, you know, you've been able to do this at church. You know, you're single right now, like we talked about before. And like, oh, okay, well, I wasn't looking at that. I was looking at the negative side. And so maybe exploring some things, try some things out, see how it goes. Or again, you know probably what you're good at. And maybe it's going to look different than it was before, but you're an encourager. You're a good communicator. Where can that find its place now so you can be a light to others and shine the light of the kingdom? So Yeah, it's life is that way. You know, there's always, you know, we get in good rhythms. We love having good rhythms, and then they change. Where do we go? What does this look like?
And it gives us, again, great time to lean into the waiting, the Advent. Like, we are waiting for Jesus to make whatever the situation is right that is not right. Mm. And that gives us a great opportunity to practice trust.
Yeah.
And patience, despite both of those being so hard.
Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of things, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, I'm in my 40s, right? Someone might look at that and be like, oh, man, yeah, you got still got a lot of energy, good health, you know, a lot kind of in the prime. And there's a lot of things there, right? There's gifts I have in this season to be using. But I might look at someone who's retired and say, oh, man, there's new opportunities there, right? Because, yeah, you know, you're not taxiing your kids around, maybe grandkids now. But, but yeah, you have more space and maybe more wisdom you've accumulated. How can you share that? Maybe looks different from when you were, you know, 35, 40. But there might be real things that you can shine light on in the church, in the community, and can be a huge boost to others. And God really can work through you. So I think when I meet with our group of guys Wednesday mornings, which tends to be an older group, just to continue to encourage them, hey, God's not done with you. You know, what is God doing through you? Yeah, it probably looks different than it did 40 years ago. But God's not done. If we're here, we're his lights. And what does that look like?
And that's so good that just if we're here, we're his lights. That's, again, we know that. And it's so important that we know that. Mm. Like, we are here on this earth. While we are here on this earth, we are supposed to be that reflecting light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so encouraging when we feel like we might not necessarily know what the specific is. But remembering that at least that is our purpose is so encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And God calls us to it. You know, with the guys tomorrow, we're talking about that parable of the workers in the vineyard. And sometimes when you're older in life or in a crisis, whatever stage, you feel like those guys standing around at the end of the day, like, oh, nobody's got anything for me. I have no purpose. I have no meaning. But God, here comes God to say, get out in the field. I got stuff for you to do. I have light for you to shine. Mm-hmm. And he graciously keeps calling us, right? So, yeah, don't despair in that. You know, God does have purpose for all of us.
Absolutely. What are we going to be talking about next week as we move into the second Sunday of Advent?
So another name or title of Jesus, this one, again, probably self-proclaimed mostly, I am the Good Shepherd. And thinking about the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and what that means for us as we follow Jesus. And so, yeah, another very prominent title. But yeah, there's an interesting piece of the contentment of the sheep in following their good shepherd. And of course, the character of the shepherd and what he does for us and how he knows us and brings us into that relationship and leads us to life and all those things. So yeah, another very familiar image, but good to spend a little more time thinking about that and why, oh yeah, this is Jesus. And this is why we're longing for him to come again too, because he is all this.
Absolutely. Oh, and there's so many good questions I have already for you, but I will hold those off until next week. So, Dan, thank you so much for coming. Thank you all for listening. We look forward to joining with you next time. Be so blessed.